Daniel chapter 12 is the finishing up of the prophecy that God gave to Daniel at the end of his life. This is part of the three-chapter trio here, Daniel chapters 10, 11, and 12. And we're going to come and see that this is the part that will show us and tell us about our day and time and about the future from where we're at this time and this day. And the prophecies so far have been about Daniel and the people of God. And this also is a part of that, but this includes you and me, as we'll see in some of the passages that are here this morning in this place. So Daniel chapter 12, we will look at all 13 verses. If you would stand with me in honor of reading God's word this morning. It's called The Time of the End. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, I'll be reading in the New American Standard version of the Bible, and you can follow on the screen there, or you can read along in the version that you have. But it says, "Now at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. Michael will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who's found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of the heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." Verse 4, "But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the book until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, 'How long will it be until the end of these wonders?' And I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and a half time. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard, but I could not understand. So I said, 'My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?' And he said, 'Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion in the end of the age." Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come this morning to look at this passage of Scripture. Our Father, today in this place, we are in amazement and a wonder at you and who you are. And we want to thank you, Father, for calling us with a holy calling to your great salvation. We thank you, Father, for giving to us the forgiveness of our sins and for giving us the gift of eternal life. We know by the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ, and by his suffering and by his death, and by his resurrection, that you have effected for us, Father, saving grace. Saving grace that is so amazing. Now, Father, we pray that you'll bless your word today to our understanding. And, Father, stir up the hope that is in us, that we may live for you and for your sake and for your glory and for your kingdom and for the sake of your gospel. And we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this is the chapter that finishes the prophecy, the revelation of God that he gave to Daniel. You remember in the early chapters that God revealed to Daniel through the dreams of the kings there of Babylon, and then of Cyrus, the king of Syria, when the Babylonian Empire was overthrown, that God revealed to those men, and Daniel was the one who God used to interpret, and he wrote down and has for us the history of all the world from the time of Daniel's day. That was a great and terrible day for the people of God because of their generations of sinfulness before God. They continually sinned over and over and over again before the Lord. And so he sent them into this 70-year captivity. They were taken out of the land. There were few left there, but the most were taken out of the land. They were taken away, and Daniel was among those that went first. And so God chose this young man, Daniel, a very young teenage boy. We call that a teenage boy at his day and time. Very responsible before God, very dedicated to the Lord with his life. And God used him to reveal things that would happen in the world. And then when God was finished giving the history of the Gentile people and their final end, then God now turns these last three chapters, the attention to his people, specifically his people, the Jews, his people, Israel, Daniel and his people. But as we'll see in some of these verses this morning, that it was more far-reaching than that. It was for those who would come later in life, later in history. And there would be understanding given to them. And you and I live in that day and time. We live on this side of the cross of Jesus Christ. We have more perfect understanding of the saving grace of God and the acts of God and the moving of God and what he wants to do. So as we look now, come and look at chapter 12, we see that God finishes this revelation to Daniel. There are three persons that are still present here at first, and then there are two others added. And so let's just take a quick look at this. First of all, in 10, 11, and 12, there is the man dressed in white linen, standing above the waters of the Tigris River there. And from this description, if you'll remember when we were in chapter 10, that we looked at the description of that man, and that it is the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. If you want to get a little more confirmation or affirmation about that, go and read the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Go back there and read and see the description there. It's close. It's like this. And he is the one who stands there, and it's the angels who come and stand by his side. And so we have this person, this man dressed in linen, and it is a description of Christ. Then we have the angel Gabriel. Gabriel is the one who is speaking now to Daniel. He is the one who is the most likely person that is not named in chapter 12, but he is named in earlier chapters. He's always the one who comes to Daniel and gives these thoughts. And then thirdly, we have Daniel himself. Remember Daniel in chapter 10? He had received seen a vision. He was very troubled by it, disturbed by it, and so he was fasting and praying and seeking for the Lord to show him what these things meant, because he knew what it meant for him and his people, the people of God. And so Daniel fasted for 21 days, but he did not fully abstain from all food and drink. Rather, he abstained from the delicacies of eating, the things, the food that would satisfy the appetite and pleasures in this. And he ate bland food, probably very, it'd be something to be comparable. I was sharing this in Sunday school class this morning. It'd be comparable to people eating bread and water, just something plain. And he said he drank no wine or anything like that, but he just drank the plain things and he ate plain things so that he might seek to know the mind of God. To know the mind of God and the heart of God. And you and I need the same challenge in our lives. To know the mind of God. What is the mind and the will of God for us? What is the mind and the will of God for the church? That's how we'll find the mind and the will of God for our lives individually. when we see the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God for His church, for us as a corporate body, as a body of believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Daniel was doing that, and we read there in chapter 10 that he was weak in this state because he had searched and he had sought. And Gabriel came there and he talked about how he came immediately when the prayers went up, but they were hindered. There was spiritual warfare going on in the heavens, and he was delayed for 21 days there. And now it comes time to see the final end. We looked at all the history of what God's people would be going through, the terrific and horrific times with Antiochus Epiphanes and all the rulers. And that is the time between Daniel's day and between the time of the coming of John the Baptist that was there. But now we come to chapter 12. Well, in actually back in chapter 11 and verse 40 and through 45 and then now into chapter 12, we see beyond that day and time, beyond the day of Christ, we see to the time of the very end. So he mentions Michael, and Michael is called the archangel in the book of Jude, verse 9, and he appears to be God's appointed protector of the people of God. He's the one who protects Israel. He was the one who fights for Israel in the spiritual war that goes on. So let's come now and look now at chapter 12 as we come and delineate these verses out and look at the final deliverance of Israel, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read this part in the King James. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was seen since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." At that time. What does that refer to? Go back up to chapter 11 and verse 40. There is written, Daniel writes down, "At the time of the end shall the king of the south push." And he begins to describe what it was going to be like at the very end of time. And the horrific turmoil and distress and the wars and everything that would be happening and taking place. And so now in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "At that time shall Michael stand up." And who is Michael? He is the great prince which stands for the children of the people. He's the one who will come and face the final enemy for us. And so "at that time" refers to the very end of time, still yet in future in front of us. So here's this great prince Michael who would stand for the people of God. He says here in verse 1, and he says after that, then there shall be a time of trouble. Literally, it is a time of distress. Remember what it says in the book of Luke? The distress of nations with perplexity. That's what Luke recorded concerning the words of our Lord when he said, "The distress of nations with perplexity." And the word perplexity there means, in the original language, is a word that means that there's no way out. There's no solution. There's no answer. And so when our Lord was giving to his disciples what it was going to be like, there at the end he says, "The distress of nations, great distress upon the earth, and with perplexity." There would be no final answer with man. And what we come to see and to understand when we read through the book of Revelation and that is that God is the one who has the answer. He is the answer. He's the answer to every need that we have. He's the answer to every burden that we bear. He's the answer to every problem that we have. He's the solution. And it was like Keitha was sharing in testimony before she sang, there are troublous things that come to us that we don't see and we don't understand why we're going through them. But yet it's the great God of grace and mercy, the great God of creation, the great God of our salvation that provides for you and me everything we need to take us through life. And so we see here, Daniel is recording what Gabriel is saying here. And said, "There shall be a time of trouble, a time of distress." Notice he goes on to say, "such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." So in the history of the world, God is telling Daniel through this vision. God is enacting this through this vision and through the words of the angel and through the vision of Christ there, dressed there in linen, and we'll see more about that in just a moment. He is saying that this is what it's going to be like up until the very end. And at the very end, there's going to be trouble like never has been seen on the face of this earth. I don't know about you. I've seen enough trouble on the television news in the last 2 or 3, 4 years to last me more than the rest of my life. But it isn't nothing yet. There's more to come. Now, we're not to get distressed or upset about that and worried or what's going to happen. What we do is we're supposed to keep on doing what we're supposed to be doing. Right? Will that be an amen from some of you?
Amen.
Okay, good. Yeah, we're still awake. If I go to sleep, you say amen real loud and wake me back up, okay? Because thank you. And don't snore while you're saying amen there, Don. But you see, we're supposed to be doing what we're supposed to always be doing. What is it? What is it? The mandate of the church is to make disciples. We're to go and to preach and to proclaim the gospel of God so that people might hear, and we'll see more about this in the next 2 verses, that people might see and hear the truth of all of it, of all of life. People say, what am I here for? What's my life about? What's the world about? What's life about? What's the use? There can't be a God, or all this wouldn't be. All the things that men and women, people say, and all of this, none of it makes sense outside of the context of God's Word. You ever thought about that? The mess that's out in the world, the tragedies that are all around us, none of it makes sense outside of the context of the Word of God. And so Daniel is being given this by Gabriel and says there's going to be a time of trouble, a time of distress like never before in the history of the world. Not even until that same time. And then he goes on to say, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Now that's the part I like. Your people shall be delivered. If you and I are alive, if we are alive, when this time happens, when this day comes, and all this distress is going, we have this confidence that God has already said it in history, in His, in the counsels of God in eternity past, to be delivered. Now notice he goes on to say, everyone that shall be found written in the book. He's talking about the book of life. We don't know what all that is. If it's a literal book, it possibly probably is, or something like that. But the book of life is those who know God, their names, our names, are written in this book of life. We see that there in the book of Revelation. And so he said, there's going to be a time of deliverance. Now that's your hope and my hope. And when the world, you know, when we get caught up in the ways of the world and all this going on in our lives, we tend to forget about what God is doing or what God wants us to be doing. We tend to do that because, let's face it, we can only have a one-track mind. We can only think about one thing at a time. I saw that on the brain. How many of you watch brain games on TV? Anybody? Okay, you can only think about one thing at a time. Now, you can multitask. You can pretend that you're doing more things than one, but you have to go from one to the other, back and forth, and all like that. And, you know, that's why God tells us in His Word to keep on renewing our minds. Because we've got to keep our focus where it needs to be kept. And that is upon Him. Upon His will, upon His word, upon His way. Now we see then that this is what he wants to reveal to Daniel. And now he wrote it down, and now it's for us. It's here. We're some 2,500 years later, and we're standing here. We're reading this today. You probably read this before. I've read it before. We're now reading it again, and we're considering what it is. And God's people will be delivered. It was written. It's written in the book. And that is the book of life. Now look with me at verse 2. Now notice this great promise, this great hope that we have. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And so this is the work of God. The work of God is to bring about the resurrection of the dead. And we've talked about that. We've illustrated that in the communion this morning. The death of Christ for us, but the death of Christ is without meaning without the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection of Christ is your guarantee and my guarantee that one day after we die physically, we will rise again from the dead. That's why when we have loved ones and we lose them and we go out to the cemetery and we commit their body back to the earth. We do it in hope. If they know the Lord, we do it in hope that one day they will rise again. Yes, the separation is unbearable at first. The separation is hard to deal with and hard to realize and to become a reality for us. But we know we have the hope because God has said it, God has declared it, God has decreed it, and it will be just like that. And so, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life. So here we see the truth that we see in the rest of Scripture. There are two resurrections. There are two resurrections. There's the resurrection unto everlasting life, and there's the resurrection of everlasting contempt, shame and contempt. And we read that over in the book of Revelation as well. There's one resurrection of the dead in Christ, or the dead in the Lord. Those who have spiritual life, grace from God, mercy and grace and truth, and in our lives. And he uses the word here, sleep. He says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Why does he use that term? He uses that term because death is just like laying down and going to sleep. It's temporary. And then we shall awake. And that is the resurrection. And to everlasting life is unending life. Death is temporary for the body. But life in eternity is forever. It's unending. Paul, if we read all of 1 Corinthians 15, we'll have a new body. We'll have a glorified body. And as Paul says there in 1 Corinthians 15, those who are alive will be there. We'll have a new body instantly, but those who are dead in Christ shall be given a new body, shall put on more immortality. The mortal shall put on immortality. And so we see that many of them will sleep, and some to everlasting life, and some to everlasting contempt. So there is a resurrection coming. Do you know which resurrection you will be a part of? You see, all this presupposes, I guess the best way to say it, that those who know God, and we'll understand that here in this next verse, we'll see what all this meant, how to know that, is if we know Him, that we have that assurance and that guarantee from Him. Now look with me at verse 3 just very quickly. Because God reveals His work, God reveals His wrath, and all that He is going to do, that everlasting contempt is the wrath of God that continually goes upon those who are not His. And we'll see who they are here in verse 3. And verse 3 says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever." This brightness, those who are wise, who are the wise? Those are the ones who have understanding. The people who see. The people who get it. The people who do not get it are those who do wickedly. They are the ones who reject God, the knowledge of God, or refuse to seek for God. But those who are wise are those who seek to understand what life is all about. And you've heard me say this before, but none of us have ever had anything to do with our being born into this world and into this life. None of us had any control over that. We had no say-so over it. We had zilch. We had no control. And when we die, we have no control over what happens to us when we die. No personal control. But what we do have in between birth and death is the responsibility to seek out the truth and to know it. And that's what the angel is talking about to Daniel here. Those who are wise, those who seek out the truth, people who say, you know, when you look up into the heavens or you look out into creation, nature all around us, and to say that, oh, it just all evolved, it all just happened, that's impossible. It is unscientific. And it is impossible for all to have just happened on its own. It's not possible. And so the creation tells us that there is something greater than our understanding. Someone greater than our understanding. And that is the God of creation. And you want to know who He is? Pick up the Bible. Pick up the Word of God. Pick up a translation that's accurate. Pick up a translation that you can simply understand. And seek out the truth for yourself and come to know what the truth is. These are those, he says, that are the wise. And what does he say about us? He says, those who are wise that shine as the brightness of the firmament. Those who have come to a knowledge of the truth and understanding. You know, Daniel didn't see and know everything, but he knew what Jerusalem meant. He knew what the temple meant. He knew what the Holy of Holies was about. He knew what the Ark of the Covenant was about. He knew what the shedding and the sprinkling of the blood was about. He knew all those things, but he didn't have a full understanding. This side of the cross, you and I have come to fully understand that all of that in the Old Testament was God bringing the world to the one point that he wanted to make in history, and that was where he became a man. The God-man Jesus Christ, God the Creator, became one of us, yet without sin, sinless, and he suffered for us. And by the shedding of his blood, he died as a substitute for you and for me. They buried him in the tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again. And in his own words, he said, "No one can take my life from me. I lay it down of myself, and I take it up of myself." And that's the truth. That's wisdom. Because when we come to see and understand that, then we can turn to Romans chapter 10 and where it reads and it says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe all these things about who he is and about what he did and that he's God and that he's the Savior and he suffered all of these things for you and for me, if you understand that, then you can call upon the name of the Lord and receive the forgiveness of your sins and you can receive the gift of eternal life. Now, what is a person who is wise? What is a person who's truly, in the biblical sense, a Christian? It's one who has received the forgiveness of their sins. And how does that happen? We receive the forgiveness of our sins by repentance of sin and by faith toward Jesus Christ. Repentance of sin is, I turn from sin, the practice of sin in my life, and I turn to Jesus Christ, and I surrender and I submit to his authority over me, to his lordship over my life. When Jesus went to those men, to the disciples, the first ones, he said, come and follow me. They dropped everything they had and they followed him. When you and I are called to salvation, is it about just believing these things and then praying this prayer so I get saved and then get baptized and become a church member and then I just go happy along the rest of my life? That's what we've turned the gospel into. But it's about a turning of my life over to God, over to Christ. It's about you turning your life over to him. And he's the Lord and Savior of your life. We're to do the will of God. We're to walk in obedience. We're to seek righteousness in our life. We are to follow the truth. We are to humble ourselves before him. And so, Daniel writes here at what the angel told him, says, those that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. But look at the second part. I like the second part of this verse really well. And they that turn many to righteousness. What is that talking about? And you have permission to answer out loud. Discipling. Evangelism. Making disciples. And they that turn many to righteousness, they will shine as the stars forever and ever. You know what the scripture in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, he that wins souls is what?
Wise.
What are we talking about in this passage? We're talking about those who are wise. You see the picture of God? And here in chapter 12, it's beginning to come together. In the previous chapters, we've looked and seen the meaning of history and how God worked it out with the Gentiles. And now he's centered and focused upon his people, the Jews, the Israelites. And then he calls them his people, those that are his people. And it all passes down past the day of the cross and the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came and God brought in a new dispensation into human history, a new dispensation where God would indwell his people personally. Everyone, every single person, personally. And that's the day and age that you and I live in. We live in the dispensation where the Spirit of God lives in you and lives in me. If you truly know Christ and you've been born again, you've been saved, truly saved, the Spirit of God is in you. He indwells you. And we're, the Lord willing, Starting next week, we're going to look at the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit for just a few weeks. So he says, those who turn many to righteousness as the stars of heaven. So that's what we see here. There's this brightness that is going on, that is happening here. But now let's come to verse 4. Here's the turning point in this chapter. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And so here's the final command to seal up the book. Verse 4, shut it up, seal it up, preserve it, protect it. It's not going to happen right now, but keep it safe so that others will read it in centuries, in generations past, in centuries past. People will read it and they will know the truth. And that's what he's saying here. Shut it up and seal it. Keep it safe and protect it until the time of the end. And then he said, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And that's what's going to happen at the time of the end. And there's some interesting thoughts on that that we can't delineate all that out this morning. But people will be looking for the truth and searching for the truth. Many will be going and looking for what they consider truth in many different areas of the world, of life, and things like that. But they'll be looking in all the wrong places. So it's people who will be seeking to find understanding. And so now we come to the final part, verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood... Let's go quickly. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation 22:10 from verse 4 before we go to verse 5. If you want to turn there, you can look on the screen. Revelation 22:10. Because here, the angel tells Daniel to seal up the book. It's way out there in the future. Seal up the book. But now notice what happens to John in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 10, at the end of the book of the Revelation, we read this. John had had all these visions. He had seen all of these things. He had written down what he was supposed to write down. And notice what this angel says to John. And he says unto me, do not seal the sayings of this prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. So generations from Daniel's day, generations in a few hundred years go by, and now Christ comes, and the day of Pentecost, and the book of Acts, we read there, and there's a spreading of the gospel for decades there, and at the end of John's life, he receives this revelation there on the Isle of Patmos, and he sees all these things that are being declared for the very end. And now he says, do not seal up the sayings of this prophecy, for the time is at hand. Brothers and sisters, that's where we're at today. The time is at hand. We ought to be about the Lord's business. I know you don't want to hear it. How many of you know what I'm going to say? We ought to be about the Lord's business. The time is short. Do you know what I'm going to say now? You know, four weeks from tonight is June the 30th, and the year will be half over. A lot of our activities will be over. We have a mission trip in July. Then what happens? School starts back up. Our cycle in life starts all over again. And before you know it, well, you know. Now, I don't do that to taunt and torment. I do, I guess, a little bit. I enjoy the sun. But here's why. Because time is short. And God has given us an awesome responsibility. We have the truth of God. We have the wisdom of the ages. We carry it with us. We read it. We study it at home, at church, and other places. We're responsible for every word that we read, every lesson that we heard taught, every message we heard preached, every devotion that is given. We're responsible for every word, every time we bow our heads and pray and ask God to give us understanding of something that we're reading. We are responsible for it. And it is time that we make full use of the time. And brothers and sisters, the world we live in has got us so distracted with so many things. My head swims. And I don't mess with a lot of it personally, but my head still swims. And I know raising families and children and grandchildren and things like this, I don't know about you, it's just there's a torrent of activity that just pulls us and pulls us and pulls us. Well, we have to do is discern, is it pulling us toward God or away from God? It's time. It's time for us, for the church, to come alive, to re-examine our priorities, to look at things. It's time. People are, someone calculated it, so many hundreds of thousands of people die every day in this world. Some people are dying constantly, all over the world, somewhere in the world, all the time. Almost all the people who are going out into eternity are going there without Christ. And in a year's time, it's millions. People going out into eternity. Everlasting contempt, as we read in verse 2. And you and I have the responsibility. And Daniel says that. We'll shine as the stars forever and ever for me bringing people to righteousness. But Gabriel told him to seal up the book. But now we read in Revelation that it's not to be sealed up. Then verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others. The one on one side of the bank of the river and one on the other side of the bank of the river. Two more angels. They're not named. They're there. And one said to the man clothed in white linen, that would be Christ, a Christophany, which was upon the waters of the river. How long shall it be to the end of these wonders? When is all this going to happen? When is all this going to be? I want to understand. I want to know this. Notice what Daniel says. And I heard, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and he swore by him that lives forever. You can go and read in Revelation a similar statement. The one, praise to the one who lives forever and ever. And swore by him that lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. So all these things are coming. And there's a lot of different ideas about what times, and a half time, and the 1290 days, and 1335 days, and no one knows for sure, but we know that it's coming, and that it's out there, and it's at the end times. And so we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then he says in verse 8, and I heard, but I did not understand. So he did hear it. He just didn't know what it was about. So he said, oh my Lord, what shall the end of these things? Now, verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And we've read that in Revelation. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Oh, throughout the ages, those who hear the gospel and who are born again and washed of their sins. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Here's the difference. Wisdom is knowing God, knowing the truth. I love the Truth Project. We've done that ministry here again. We'll provide it again for anybody who wants to do it again or wants to do it for the first time. The people who are wise are those who seek after the truth and seek to live the truth. But notice what the wicked do. None of the wicked shall understand. They are those who do not seek to understand. They have rejected the truth, or they do not seek after the truth. But the wise shall understand. You see, the wise and the wicked, the wise and the wicked. Now, verse 11. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. And blessed is he that waits and comes to the 1,335 days. We're not sure what those means. And theologians and commentators, they have a lot of ideas. But we don't need to take time to do that this morning. Then finally, verse 13. But you go your way till the end is, till the end be. There, Daniel. For you shall rest. You're going to die. And you're going to stand in your lot at the end of the days. So there was the promise and the guarantee of the resurrection for Daniel himself. I want us to bow our heads and to close our eyes.